JC Corcoran Podcast.
And I think it would be a fair statement to say that every comedian here would prefer to be a rock star in real life. Because I think rock stars are the coolest people on the planet. And they always have that preamble before the song that makes no sense at all. You know, ladies and gentlemen, a long time ago there were lots of people. That's all I'm trying to say. And a lot of these lyrics, you gotta admit, when you hear songs on the radio, some of these lyrics are very generic, very trite. I mean, to me, it sounds like the guy is making them up as he goes along. You know what I mean? It's like, she's cold as ice. Paradise. And the feeling was a nice. And there's a lady I know. If I didn't know her, she'd be the lady I didn't know. And my lady, she went downtown. She bought some broccoli. She brought it home. She's chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. She 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 chop, she chop, she chop. She chopping broccoli.
Make me a sap if I tear it up a little bit when Matt Carpenter hit that home run last night. God, well, how you doing, kids? It is the JC Corcoran Podcast for the 14th of April 2021 here at jcontheline.com. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you're doing your best to spread the word that we are here every day. A word of mouth, best possible thing that could happen. This is absolutely free every day. It's not some sort of bait and switch thing where we're going to get you to listen every day and then all of a sudden come back and go, okay, and now it's going to cost you $30 a day. Nothing like that. That's not how we're doing it this time. So it's just good to have you along. One thing I do want to mention right at the top here, the stuff that is going on this podcast every day is so topical that, you know, in a lot of cases, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's not even relevant anymore because I try to keep it about what's going on, what is happening right now. So when we set this whole thing up, we set it up in a way that did not accommodate archiving the podcasts. In other words, you got to listen to the one that's there, and when it's over, it's over. We move on to the next one. But looks like we're going to change that policy because a lot of people have contacted me already and said, you know, I missed this show. How can we hear them? We want to hear the ones we missed. And so I've gone back to Everett Marshall, our creative guy here, and our technical wizard who puts this whole thing together, and we're going to accommodate you. So that stuff will be posted here within the next couple of days as soon as we get that part of the whole thing set up. And again, this is still a work in progress. How the podcast sounds today probably will not be how it sounds in a week or two. And also the website, jcontheline.com, is undergoing massive changes too. So like I said, this is a fluid situation. We are a work in progress. Yesterday, for some odd reason, actress Helen Slater. Now, you know who we're talking about here? She was in The Secret of My Success with Michael J. Fox about the whole hotel industry, sort of, I guess you would say. The movie was actually originally called The Concierge, but it turned out after they started test marketing the thing, very few people in America had any idea what a concierge was, let alone how to pronounce it, because the overwhelming majority of people in this country have never stayed in a hotel so fancy that you have a concierge. But so they changed the name of the movie from The Concierge to The Secret of My Success. She was in that. She was in City Slickers. She was in The Legend of Billie Jean, Ruthless People. But the reason she had come into St. Louis was, and this was back in 1984, the reason she came into St. Louis was to promote the movie Supergirl. Now, Helen Slater, blonde, very pretty, which is why it came as a complete surprise to me, inexplicably, that she seemed to be flirting with me. And if you happen to be listening 37 years ago, you heard this thing. It was very, very clear that we were hitting on each other. And I still remember at one point she was talking about, she was very sweet, very, very sweet girl. She was in her early 20s. And she said, you know, as an actor, our instrument is our body. Our instrument is our body. At which point the U-man, John Hewlett, kicked in and said, okay, I'll start playing mine more often than that. So the interview was over. We had a really, really nice time. And I'm not, I certainly back then was not so presumptuous as to imagine that, you know, she'd ever want to see me again. We said our goodbyes and that was it. I move on to the next thing. About an hour later, the phone rings and it's the PR person that was assigned to actress Helen Slater for that day in St. Louis. And she said, Helen really would like to know if you would like to accompany her at lunch. So now I'm figuring, holy crap, I may have hit the jackpot here without even trying. So I ran home, put on some decent clothes, and when I arrived at the Tenderloin Room in the Chase Park Plaza, there she was sitting there, and she had this little shit-eating grin on her face, and so we had a really, really nice meal. And again, certainly back then was not presumptuous enough to imagine that she ever want anything to do with me again. So about 2 weeks later, she's doing The Tonight Show, and Joan Rivers was hosting. It was a Monday night back in the day. You might remember that. And she's talking about the 21-city tour. It's like 21 cities in 19 days. And Joan Rivers says, oh, God, that must be hard. What's touring like that? What's that like? And she said, oh, I've been, and by the way, I still have the tape. She says, oh, I've been having a really, really nice time meeting some wonderful people like in St. Louis. Really, really nice people in St. Louis. And the audience applauds, and Joan Rivers just moves on to the next thing. And I'm sitting there going, she's talking about me. Now, I would like to tell you that this has a really juicy ending, but it doesn't, because it was like maybe 7 or 8 years ago, you get a call from a PR firm, and they're like, are you familiar with actress Helen Slater? And I'm like, you're damn right I am. And I don't think they had any idea what to make of that. But they said, well, she's going to be available for interviews, blah, blah, blah. I forget what it was, something on Lifetime or something like that. And I was like, sure. And when we had our tearful reunion over the phone, Helen Slater didn't remember any of this, which is odd because I remembered every single second of it, because stuff like that just doesn't happen to me very often. And now this.
The author of On the House, former Speaker John Boehner. Speed round, a quick reaction, briefly, pithily, and unvarnished, Mike Pence.
Good guy, really good guy. Solid Christian.
We go to different churches. Newt Gingrich.
A great leader, a little crazy at times, but a great leader.
A megalomaniac person. Mitch McConnell.
Stealth Vader.
president, former guy, the previous president.
Oh, that former guy.
Yeah.
A little crazy.
President Obama.
Not quite my cup of tea, but we got along well.
Okay. Lindsey Graham.
He's one of the funniest people you'll ever meet in your life.
Like, funny ha-ha or funny really, what the is wrong with that guy?
No, like really funny, Stephen.
But what, can you explain what the hell happened to him? He's baffling to even people who voted for him.
Well, Lindsey, you know, he can kind of move a little right, move a little left. He's pretty good dancer, but he really is one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Lindsey Graham, great dancer. President George W. Bush.
One of my dear friends. Great president.
Dick Cheney.
Smart, quiet, but look out.
Wow. Ted Kennedy.
My old dear friend. We could work almost anything out. He was as liberal as I was conservative, but we did a lot of great work together. Good guy.
President Clinton.
Best politician I've ever met.
President Biden.
Good guy. Really good guy. 30 years I've known him. There's nothing we couldn't work out.
Ted Cruz.
Lucifer in the flesh. The most miserable son of a bitch I ever had to deal with.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
I'm telling you, Boehner is spilling the beans, man. He is spilling the beans. That book comes out, by the way, I think it's today. Yeah, I think Boehner's book comes out today. As we continue to live in a divided country. But when they say divided, that implies equally divided, and we're not equally divided, which is another problem on top of everything else. Some things are intrinsically true or false, or at least they used to be, not anymore. By the way, with regard to the trial going up in Minnesota, did you see what George Clooney said? I think it's brilliant. George Clooney said, okay, here's what the prosecution in the case should have done. The prosecution should have said, Derek Chauvin, please lie down here on the floor of the courtroom. Just lie down face first if you could. I'm going to put these handcuffs on you. And then I'm going to kneel on your neck for 9 minutes. Are you okay with that? And if he says, no, I'm not okay with that, I think you see where I'm going with this. But back to the important things in life, our top story, there are reports that Jennifer Aniston is adopting a baby, and those reports are incorrect. I like going to historical markers, houses, movie sets, you know, places where famous movies were shot, things like that. I was in Cleveland a couple of years ago and went to the house where they shot A Christmas Story. I've been to the Field of Dreams a couple of different times. Not been to the Home Alone house. Every time I'm in Chicago, I keep forgetting to go. The Pittsburgh house where Fred Rogers lived in the late 50s and early 60s is on the market for $850,000. Fred and his wife had their two sons during that time. So if you're buying that house, you're going to be living in the house that Mr. Rogers had sex in. Just think about that for a minute. Talk about something here that I can clearly identify with. I am going to be lying in my deathbed, and I know already what I'm going to be thinking. I'm going to be thinking I wasted too goddamn much time. We spend an average of 37% of our work day daydreaming, and the times we're most likely to be daydreaming, Friday afternoons, Monday mornings, and Tuesday mornings. Somebody polled thousands of people all over the country and showed them a series of head-to-head matchups. For example, what's better, California or Texas? Then they took all the results and ranked all 50 states by winning percentage. Overall, people very loyal to their home state, choosing it in 77% of the matchups. But according to the rankings, the number one state overall is Hawaii. The 10 most popular states: Hawaii, Colorado, Virginia, Nevada, North Carolina, Florida, Arizona, New York, Georgia, and Texas. Can you feel it? Can you feel it coming? The 10 least popular states are, do you feel it? Do you feel it coming yet? Would you like me to go faster? Oh, slower. Alabama, Mississippi, New Jersey, Arkansas, Iowa, Indiana, South Dakota, Kentucky, Kansas, and Missouri.
Tell everyone you know, everywhere you go, I'm so lost.
All right, how about a COVID update?
We're also testing disinfectants. readily available. We've tested bleach. We've tested isopropyl alcohol. I can tell you that bleach will kill the virus in 5 minutes, and that's with no manipulation.
So suppose it hit the body. I see the disinfectant. Suppose it hit the body with tremendous ultraviolet. Suppose it hit the body. I see the disinfectant. Suppose it hit the body with tremendous ultraviolet. We're leading the way in so many different ways. Supposing it brought the light inside the body in some other ways. As we continue to develop potential therapies, I see the disinfectant. I see the disinfectant. I think people are gonna know. You're gonna know. I'm gonna know. I think people are gonna know. You're gonna know. I'm gonna know. I think people are gonna know. I see the disinfectant. This whole curse, this whole plague. And is there a way we can do something like that? Injection. Supposedly hit the body.
I guess this day was inevitable. We finally have too much toilet paper. Toilet paper sales were down 4% in January, and it's because so many people stocked up last year and are still working through their supplies. Last year, Americans spent $11 billion on toilet paper, which is $2 billion more than the average year. So, yeah, we went a little overboard on hoarding the stuff. Police in India busted a mattress factory that was stuffing mattresses with used masks instead of cotton. 56% of people say lockdown has actually been pretty easy. Only 12% say it's been difficult. And 10 people who traveled to India from foreign countries and violated their quarantine got a Bart Simpson punishment. They all had to write, "I did not follow the rules of lockdown, so I am so sorry," 500 times. And the FDA asking states to pause on using the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, quote, out of an abundance of caution after six women developed blood clots. You've heard that story since yesterday. That's six people out of 6.9 million who got the J&J vaccine. I think that's pretty safe, unless you're one of the six people. And you can put this on the long list of shit that's never going to happen to me. 28 years ago, 1993. A member of the Chicago Bulls promotional staff approached a guy by the name of Don Calhoun. He had driven in for the game from Bloomington, Illinois. He had gotten a free ticket, by the way, to the Bulls-Miami Heat game from a friend. So he gets approached by a Bulls promotional staff guy, and he says, "Hey, at halftime, we're going to do one of these full court shot things if you make it. You win $1 million. You want to do it?" The guy's like, "Sure, why not?" So he's, you know, joking with his friends. They're all sitting there. They're talking. Now everybody's giving him advice as to how to do it and how not to do it. "I saw a guy do it this way, and he blew a hole. But you got to do it." So he's got the whole first half of the game to think about this, all right? And so they finally bring him on. You know, no pressure. All of his buddies are there. They're going to laugh at him when he misses. All the people are there. They're watching. They're going to laugh at him when he misses. What are the chances he fucking made it? And he won $1 million. And the reason the promotional staff picked him, he was wearing shiny gold boots. I have seen many, many stories about this going all the way back to the 1970s about how to win contests. When you work in broadcasting at radio stations that give stuff away a lot, not the way we used to. Boy, we used to give away so much cool stuff, and hardly anything gets given away anymore. But there are experts who work in the industry, sort of this mail-in sweepstakes stuff. And they said, you know, the way to win is to do something wacky with your envelope, with your entry. It doesn't even have to make any sense. You can cut out pictures of Richard Speck and paste them to the envelope, and it's still better than just sending in an envelope with your name and return address on it. There's people who like take giant folders and stuff and manila envelopes and like be sticking stuff on there, putting art on there and flowers and all this sort of stuff. And what it does is it grabs the attention of the guy in the mailroom or the intern whose job it is to go downstairs and grab an envelope. And you see this nutty thing, and you're like, "Oh, what is this?" And you look at it, and the next thing you know, your name is being called out because you won or you've qualified for something or you're a contestant or something like that. But there's an entire industry that trains people out in Southern California for picking people to win contests or especially game shows. You know, I did the whole Wheel of Fortune thing. When I say I did it, they sent me to Southern California back in, what year would this have been? You know, somewhere around 87, 88, 89, somewhere in there, late 80s, when the Wheel of Fortune thing was just nuts. 44 million people a night. used to watch that show. It's still something like 18 million, but back then, you know, almost half of all the TVs in use at, you know, 6:30 Central were tuned into Wheel of Fortune. That's nationwide. Almost half of the country was watching Wheel of Fortune. So, like, JC, we're going to send you out to Southern California, and we want you to do a multi-part series, like a five-part series on Wheel of Fortune. Sure. Boom. Let's go. Put me up in a nice hotel. I got a crew waiting for me, an audio guy, a camera guy. And boy, oh boy, did I do the right thing, because after the first day of shooting, I took both of these guys out for dinner. And I just, you know, it was nothing fancy. It was just like burgers and beer and stuff like that. But apparently, these guys are pissed on so often when they're hired. You know, they're outside contractors. And some reporter comes in from out of town, and they go, I need a crew. I need a camera guy and an audio guy. And here you go. All right, do this, do that. Okay, be back here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And don't be late. And instead, I was like, well, you know, you guys hungry? Yeah, man, we're starved. Why? Well, come on, I'll take you out to dinner. And these guys, their eyes swelled to the size of pie plates. I'm telling you, for the rest of that week, those guys would have climbed up the side of a wall for me. The dude with the camera was up in the rafters of the studio, like getting aerial shots of Vanna White's head and watching the wheel spin from above. Man, did we get good stuff. And I should have submitted that for an Emmy, but I didn't for some reason. But watching these audience prep guys and the people who are contestants, you got to sit down and you want to be on Wheel of Fortune and you got to like take a test. Jeopardy, for obvious reasons, I guess the test is very, very difficult. I have a friend whose husband actually went through that process, and he's a pretty brainy guy. He was like, that was actually pretty hard. But the Wheel of Fortune thing, man, you have to show energy, enthusiasm. You got to be attractive. You got to like jump up and down. You got to be all excited about stuff. And I watched these producers, there were like seven of them, and they were just intensely observing the people in the room. We were sitting on little chairs, like in a classroom, with little desks and everything. They were asking questions, and they were trying to see who would make a good contestant, who's going to look good on TV. And they have it down to a science, and it was absolutely fascinating to watch. Speaking of large sums of money, this was almost like winning it. A spokesman from the Sheriff's Department, where 33-year-old Kellen Spadoni of New Orleans checked her Charles Schwab investment account in February and found $1.2 million inexplicably had been added to her account. They'd meant to deposit $82. Somehow it came out $1.2, which I don't even know. Those numbers aren't even connected to anything. Anyhow, Kellen works at the Sheriff's Department, so she probably should have known to report it, but she didn't. Because why? Because she's a greedy little... Instead, she quickly transferred all of the money into a different account and used it to buy a house and a car. However, the Charles Schwab people figured out what happened to the money. But when the woman, this Kellen Spadoni, kept dodging them and ignoring their calls and messages, they got the police involved. Kellen was arrested last week for theft, bank fraud, and illegal transmission of monetary funds. She thought she was the smartest person in the room. Guess what? Spokesman for the Sheriff's Department where she worked says, quote, she had no legal claim to the money, even if it was put there by mistake. It was an accounting error, end quote. And this story comes with an accompanying, which is a really difficult word to say, mugshot. Plastic surgeon in Brazil, who had her medical license suspended for making TikTok videos where she danced holding bags of liposuctioned human fat. That's a look that just never really goes out of style. A guy in Tennessee rushed to the hospital after he accidentally shot himself while he was trying on pants at Walmart. Hold it. Wait a minute. There's got to be more to that story. Just hold on here. All right, here it is. A man was rushed to the hospital after police said he accidentally shot himself trying. We know that part. The shooting was reported Friday afternoon outside the store on North Chancery Street. Oh, here we go. McMinnville police said the man had entered a fitting room to try on pants when his pistol fell out of his pocket, hit the floor, and discharged, striking him in the leg. I guess the only way to stop a bad guy trying on pants with a gun is with a good guy trying on pants with a gun.
The A-List Interview.
Alyssa Milano on Life After Who's the Boss.
What it really was is that I didn't have many offers when that show was over because, you know, at that time it wasn't cool to be on television.
And it's one thing to basically do the movies and you're naked and you're running around and you look great and all that kind of business. And by the way, you do. Is it at the point, Alyssa, where you just look so damn great that people will stop telling you how great you look?
No, you never get tired. Well, you never get tired of it, but I don't always feel it, so sometimes it's nice to hear.
You have one of the great bodies in show business, I think.
Let it go. But let it go.
I'm afraid it's too late for that.
Okay, late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Allison Janney, Terry Crews. I'm with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Willie Geist. Boy, that's a good show Willie Geist does on Sunday mornings on NBC. John Batiste, who is the band leader for Stephen Colbert, pops up with James Corden. Seth Meyers has Gayle King, Howie Mandel on with Conan. Birthdays today, Sarah Michelle Gellar, 44. Anthony Michael Hall is 53. At age 17, he became the youngest Saturday Night Live cast member ever until he had to enter rehab at 17. Man, oh man. 16 Candles, Weird Science, Breakfast Club, National Lampoon Vacation. You know the guy. Greg Maddux, arguably one of the best pitchers in the history of baseball, 55. Pete Rose, 80 today, and Loretta Lynn is 89. That's amazing, by the way. She grew up in the hills. They didn't have running water or electricity in their house, let alone prenatal care. Can you imagine how bad, you know, the doctoring was, the dentistry, and all that sort of stuff? And yet, she lives to be 89. Archaeologists unearthed a 3,000-year-old city. They believe the residents lived in a primitive lifestyle because it only had two Starbucks. Good morning, everybody. And Macaulay Culkin, we did the story yesterday, is now a father. He's a father. They had a kid. He promptly left the kid home alone and flew to Paris. All right, that's all we got here today on the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. We are here every weekday morning, bright and early at 7 a.m. Central. And like I said, at the top of the show, we're going to fix that thing now so the old shows will be archived. You'll be able to go back and listen to them. We're working on it. Should have that in a couple of days. Please spread the word of mouth, best possible advertising we could have. Everything is free here. So tell them to go to jcontheline.com, and we will talk at you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.